Good afternoon, Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan. The World Health Organization held a press conference on the coronavirus this morning. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros has this update.
More than 132,000 cases of COVID-19 have now been reported to WHO from 123 countries and territories. 5,000 people have lost their lives, a tragic milestone. Europe has now become the epicenter of the pandemic, with more reported cases and deaths than the rest of the world combined, apart from China.
This afternoon, President Trump will hold a news conference at the White House to discuss the outbreak. President Trump and a group of seven leaders are planning also a virtual conference next week to discuss more.
Clayton Pope, Commodities President. Clayton Pope says the efforts by the White House and Federal Reserve to calm panic could be risky to the markets.
In my opinion, they're taking a big gamble because, they cut the rate a half point a week ago. Yesterday, they announced $1.5 trillion liquidity adding measure by a bunch of repos they did yesterday and today. Neither one of those did a whole lot. Then they come out with that announcement. Of course, it ran stocks up. They were up the limit, briefly, but they come way off that high now. They're going out on a limb here, I think.
And Pope says the stakes are high.
I mean, they're taking a big gamble by being so outspoken that they're, doing such unprecedented moves. And if this fails to calm the markets, that's when this thing could really teeter. And you could see even more panic, I'm afraid. So it's a very important day, I think, what happens in the stock market today. And that is very critical to what happens to the grain markets in the short term, I believe.
Van Aun and Company CEO Jim Emter says how the markets finish today will be important for market stability.
A lot of people get excited about the open, see an update. To me, it matters none. It's great to see it. But where we finish today is exactly right. We need to make sure we've got those components, and it's all going to matter. Crude oil, bonds, the Dow. So realistically, that's going to be important more for consumer confidence. But, we began to see this corn market, wheat market try to stand on their own footing. It's just a matter of finishing the day as a result of that.
Emter says these highly volatile markets do provide some opportunity.
The biggest thing is when unfortunates are not good, there's always opportunity. When you look to the fuel markets, keeping an eye on those, making sure you've got fuel needs booked are extremely important. Looking at interest rates, restructuring, and trying to get those low interest rates to really work on the farm. I think it's extremely important to say, hey, I just can't bury my head in the sand. There are opportunities here that do lie, and we've got to be attentive to those as we work ahead.
Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier says hot, dry weather has been taking its toll on Argentina's soybean crop.
It's been hot and dry for about 3 weeks, and it's hitting the soybeans just as they're filling pods. It'd be like us being dry 3 weeks in August. It really is taking a toll on the soybeans. Now, the more drier areas of south-central Argentina did get some rain this week, so I think they're okay for now. But the dryness is kind of migrating a little bit further north. So it's the soybeans that were hit just wrong.
Southern Brazil has also been hot and dry, but Cordonier still expects a record Brazilian soybean crop.
The Brazilian crop is doing good in the northern locations, but it's kind of faulting here a little bit at the end in far southern Brazil. Now, Brazil is going to do a record soybean crop, but I look at this, maybe I might trim my estimate a little bit for Brazil soybeans, but certainly it's not going to go any higher. So it's going to be a record crop by a couple million tons, but the southernmost data is kind of holding down the entire soybean estimate for Brazil.
The Rural Finance Authority cleared the Minnesota Senate on Thursday. Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner says with the challenging and continuous harvest, farmers need resources.
We don't have a lot of applications in, and so farmers shouldn't have to wait too long. They should continue to apply. And again, if you're interested in a loan or from the department for different things, check out our Rural Finance Authority on our Department of Ag website.
Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson says the $50 million request would last about 2 years.
In loans, our Rural Finance Authority lending has really picked up the last couple of years. Our beginning farmer loan is one of our most popular one, and also our restructure loan program.
Lake Benton, Minnesota farmer Bob Wirth met with state lawmakers, Governor Walz, and Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson in St. Paul this week.
We in Minnesota, we have a $1.5 billion surplus. We don't know what the coronavirus is going to do with the economy. Is that going to drop rapidly? Is it going to grow? I mean, we had intentions of it growing because they thought the economy was growing so strong that we could even be higher than that. Now very concerned about going down. So, you know, he is concerned about where the governor is concerned about where this money is going, where it's going to end up at the dollar. You know, we talk a lot of things, and the governor is on very much on board with us.
And Worth says Section 179 conformity needs to be in line.
Everybody we talk, that's one of their top priorities to get this done this year. Because some farmers are getting bills from the state of Minnesota in the tune of $95,000 from 2018 if they didn't follow the rules. So they're getting a bill. Now they've got to figure out how they're going to pay that. They're setting up payments and all this stuff to make it work. But if we get this done, it's going to go be retroactive back to 2018. So they're going to help a lot of the people in agriculture.
The South Dakota legislature cleared a bill to legalize hemp on Thursday. Governor Noem says she intends to sign that bill. The legislation would designate $3.5 million to start and run a hemp program in South Dakota.
South Dakota Corn Annual Meeting has been rescheduled for March 27th and has now been canceled. South Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Lisa Richardson.
You know, Mother Nature got the best of us in January, and we did reschedule it, but due to everything that is happening, and the Mayor of Sioux Falls has asked for no gatherings of less than 250 people, and our gathering is usually substantially larger, we've made the decision to cancel it, and we will see you next year, January 16th, here in Sioux Falls for our next annual conference.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Red River Land Company is reporting a few lots of American Crystal Sugar Company shares sold this past week. Three sales totaling 160 shares traded hands at $3,400 per share.
The North Dakota Agro Women will be holding their annual meeting tomorrow in Grand Forks. President Carrie Moore previews the event.
All of us members get together. We have a good lunch. We discuss business for the year. We're going to be talking about our grants that we've been doing, our Dakota Made and Gave. Where we're going into the schools and talking about wheat and sunflower and peanuts and the food need in North Dakota, and then also the food waste issues that we have.
Moore says there are also some bylaw changes being considered.
Things we'd like to change so we can improve and go forward. We're getting ready to visit our Egg Day baby when it's born on National Egg Day, the first baby born in North Dakota. The hospital calls us, and we supply that family with some North Dakota products just specially for that baby, for being born on that special day. And then we're welcome to take any new ideas from the members that they want to do in their communities or statewide.
And despite meeting cancellations across the ag industry, this event will continue as planned as of today. Moore says any changes or updates for the meeting will be posted on the North Dakota Agro Women's Facebook page.
Funding is in place to begin the first phase of a Whiskey Creek watershed restoration project. Wilkin County Soil and Water Conservation District Manager Don Biupa says the $7 million project will restore approximately 30 miles of the creek.
There's anywhere from 2 to 3 feet worth of sediment that's accumulated in the creek over the years. And the objective of the overall project is to remove that so that we can redesign the channel itself so that it's more stable and better able to carry future flows.
A floodplain will now be established, which will reduce flooding on neighboring farm fields.
Currently, we are in the process of working with landowners, and our plans are to get all the permits and whatnot in place here so that we can begin construction hopefully late summer, early fall of 2020.
All of the landowners involved in the first phase of this project have signed on, and funding has been secured.
The risk for a significant snowmelt flooding continues to be greater than normal given the snowpack, wet soils, and high stream flows, according to the National Weather Service. Grand Forks-based warning coordination meteorologist Greg Guss says the flood risk is less in the southern Red River Basin, but it builds as you move north.
The snow depth analysis, looking in more detail as of March 11th, you can see that there's 0 to 8 inches across that far southern part of the basin. Some fields showing 60 to 70% open, others at 30% open, but there's still moisture that is in the ditches, still moving, well, frozen, but trying to move off the landscape. Still not a much in the way of runoff occurring anywhere at this point.
And Gus says much of that melt water so far hasn't made its way into the river system.
Much of that water that has been melting off is sitting in ditch networks right now. Some of it, I say, in the skin layer of the soil, meaning it's not yet soaked deeply into the soil. It's sitting there, still available for runoff as we warm up in the coming weeks.
Farmers who haven't yet completed their 2019 crop year elections for ARC and PLC programs must schedule an appointment with their local farm service agency by Monday. To date, approximately 90% of the expected enrollment is in the books. Farmers who don't have that appointment in place by the close of business on Monday will not be enrolled in the ARC or PLC programs for the 2019 crop year, and they will not be eligible for a payment.
South Dakota Senator John Thune, Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow have introduced legislation to provide flexibility for hay and grazing on cover crops on prevented plant acres. That bill would eliminate any arbitrary date, which puts northern farmers at a disadvantage. This proposal also calls on USDA to evaluate ways to reduce risks of prevent plant or crop insurance losses with the use of those cover crops. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this week we're looking at the work that a former North Dakota farmer has done in Haiti to try to advance agriculture and, in recent years, specifically animal agriculture. John Draxton is from Northwood, and about 18 years ago he got hooked up with a man in Haiti, and over time they started talking about starting a mission project in Haiti where it's a Haitian-run project called the International Farmers Organization for Sustainable Development. And it's a Christian program that teaches both spiritual discipleship, but also a lot of agriculture and agronomy skills. And as that started to have some success, John decided to move down to Haiti and see what he could do to support the organization in Haiti. And what he ended up doing was starting a butcher shop. There's not a lot of clean meat in Haiti. Meat tends to come from animals in the streets. Grocery stores sell it. It's not very hygienic. And John, having a background in the cattle industry, fattened a few steers and couldn't find a butcher shop, and that kind of spurred the whole thing. And now they're butchering pigs, cattle, chickens, goats, and they're selling fish from another organization. And it's creating jobs. It's giving some farmers and livestock producers a place to sell their animals. And it's obviously giving a better supply of meat to some of the businesses and to the people. And so he thinks this could be a big thing to support IFACID, the organization that that they started, and he sees big things in the future for Haitian agriculture if they can keep going. We will link to their Facebook page because that's really the best place to get in touch with him.
Sounds interesting, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. We've got grain markets trading mixed here at midday, livestock markets trading lower. Taking a look at the farm calendar, coming up tomorrow, the North Dakota AgriWomen annual meeting taking place in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and on Monday and Tuesday of next week, soybean trading and marketing seminar taking place in Fargo in Bismarck, North Dakota, followed by the South Dakota State University agronomy update in Pierce, South Dakota. That's on March 17th. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network. Work.